The Around the NFL Podcast. Put on weight over the offseason.
That's true.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast presented by New Era. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with some heroes, Mark Sessler and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Who put on weight? What is that? That feels like an unmitigated jab at nobody.
That's a lie. I mean, we got old Beachbody over here, Mark Sessler, Beachbody coach.
I was watching randomly a show from like two Decembers ago.
Yeah.
We all look a little bit less insane than we did then in terms of
we were
pasty disasters two Decembers ago.
Well,
I've been running a lot. I'm in good shape.
Everyone's looking good.
I'm where I am, which is not in a great place, but not like is some type of situation where they're going to have to like send me away to a camp or something.
Thing is, someone
like,
wrote that.
Where we have to be.
Some human in the building created that line about the four of us, and I don't appreciate it at all.
We're on to you, Patrick Claibon.
December's tricky, though. You mentioned December.
Yeah.
December's after like the end of a long season where there's food that they're just feeding you like you're in some type of factory and it's just like on a conveyor belt put into your body as you keep writing about
it.
By then I'm just asking, I want like an assassin's bullet to take me out in the middle of the the middle of December.
There is always a big time difference. Like there'll be those stories like, oh, look how good Eric Mangini looks after the off season. Yeah. He really got in shape, and then cut to like week 15 and Mangini's just, he's in a different place then.
That's one way to put it. good show today. Got a lot to get to today. This is, of course, our Wednesday video show, and the video show which you could check out at NFL.com/ATN Video, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. This will go up on the website, 6:30 Pacific, London, deal with it, Australia, whatever, Ireland, the Emerald Isle,
figured
your
out.
Problem. And
or just watch it whenever you want at NFL.com/ATN Video.
Yeah, for those guys, just take a day and fully don't think about the show at all. Catch it tomorrow. It'll be there.
Japan? Ask Greg.
Greg knows.
Everything's
like a 14-hour difference or so.
Confusing. From here.
Big show today. Big show today. We are going to talk about some QB announcements. Oh, yeah, they're starting to pile up a little bit here. So we're going to go through some decisions being made as we get ready for week three of the preseason. That's when teams get serious. We're debuting a brand new segment, Roto World Blurbs from the future. So get ready for that. Could be okay. Could be a disaster.
It's going to be good. People don't know this, but I still have the password to the Roto World admin system. So I can do this. I can write blurbs in the future.
Note to Evan Silva, change the password.
That would be helpful.
And also, we're bringing them back. Trash Takes with Patrick Claibon, and we figured we had to send out the Trash Takes light, like with the Batman symbol in the air, when Odell Beckham got hurt on Monday night against the Browns. So Claibon will join us at the bottom of the show to talk about that. But before we do anything else, we say hello to the woman behind the glass, Erica Tamposi. She's just getting her feet wet.
Yep.
What's up, Erica?
Yep, feet are wet.
Feet are soaked.
But, you know, she's just dipping them in, but she's not afraid to do some controversial things or, you know, suggest anything. I mean, she's coming in hot.
She's kind of the bizarro Sydney on that level where bit of a firecracker and you gotta see what's going to happen next. You
likes
never know.
To keep her verbiage short, but behind the scenes operating in a very menacing way potentially.
She's like called up from AA and she's throwing fastballs at the batter's chin right
now.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, don't aim at the head. Don't buzz the tower if you're going to go near him. Maybe hit him in the side, get him in the ribs, get him in the buttocks. Stay away from the old bean ball. She said, no, that's the only way I know how to play. Is this all checking out?
A little bit, but, like, guys, be careful. I could change, like, the entire pitch of your voice if I don't like what you're saying.
This is exactly what we're talking about.
And we absolutely trust that you would do that.
Yes.
You should.
Let's do some news. I'm scared. I'm scared of our new producer.
Between Coach Jackson and Coach Lee, I can't say enough great things about those guys. So whatever they decide, I, support 100%.
Well, that's good, Brock Osweiler, because things are not trending well for you in Cleveland. Brock Osweiler, who as late as Monday afternoon, if you were watching Total Access, the flagship show of NFL Network, Ian Rappaport did a live report right before the Browns and Giants kicked off saying that Brock Osweiler basically has the starting job for the Browns locked up. He just needs to not blow it against the Giants. And Brock Osweiler then went out on the field and played extremely poorly, which shouldn't surprise anyone because he's a poor quarterback. Let's be honest. I'm not trying to be mean here. But the result of that poor play led to Browns head coach Hugh Jackson announcing on Wednesday that rookie DeShone Kizer will start in the team's third preseason game against the Bucs. And this is even crazier. No Brock at all in the third game, Mark. Break it down.
Well, I mean, of all the quarterback announcements that have fluttered about the last couple of days, this one I find surprising. Although I think all of us would view DeShone Kizer as the better project at quarterback, he's still incredibly inexperienced and has barely played in the NFL. And yet, you go with the player with more potential. I think we know what we have in Brock Osweiler, and you're sitting him at this point because I think because a couple of things could happen. A, either Kizer really, really stinks up the joint in this week three matchup against the Bucks, and you potentially still could go back to Osweiler and call, hey, rookie still needs to learn. Or B, you shop Osweiler, you're still trying to shop him, and you don't get him hurt. You just keep him out of harm's way, essentially. Why put both potential starters in this game?
I find it hard to believe there's any scenario where Osweiler starts week one. I could be wrong. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
But I think you're making a choice here. As much as I respect our NFL Network insider Ian Rapoport,
sure,
saying that it was his chance not to blow it. He played 14 snaps in that game, Brock Osweiler. It was like 9 passing plays. It's not like he even got much of a chance. If you look at what they did in the preseason, he only played, 4 drives, 5 drives?
Very little. Yeah.
Wasn't on the field that much. Kizer was the guy they were getting ready in this game. And so I think the ship has sailed on Brock Osweiler as a potential starter.
I think it goes back to the idea that I was thinking about a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about some predictions. And when he was working with the second team exclusively and Osweiler, and then all of a sudden he was the starter in the first preseason game, that was a scratch-your-head moment. And then there was the week two, and it seemed like he had this opportunity. But all it really feels like now is that they were putting him on a platform and they're trying to trade him. I think they would love to trade Brock Osweiler, and even if it means shedding half of the $16 million or something like that to get him off the books. But what they needed him to do is cooperate a little bit. And in both the first game and in his limited play in the second game, he did nothing positive. So what value does Brock Osweiler have on the trade market?
The only thing I'd say is that whatever happened in a couple series with Cleveland, I don't think the most general managers out there would say, hey, suddenly he's a completely different player than he's been. He's a player with a lot of liabilities. The thing with Cleveland, I mean, they've already won this scenario. They got a second-round pick from the Texans for the Osweiler thing with money they didn't mind spending. If some team gets into dire straits and they trade him for a conditional 6th or 7th and cut the salary in half, it's another big win for
Cleveland. They're not cutting the salary in half. I don't think they'll find.
Well, they
any.
Talked about every.
That's what they want.
A lot of their trade talks of them saying they'll pay part of the salary. You're not going to get a team to take $16 million.
No, I'm saying a team would only take on Brock Osweiler if they I don't think any team would give up anything for Brock Osweiler to start. But if I was wrong and they did, they're only taking on, let's say, $4 million, $5 million. There's no way a team's going to pay Brock Osweiler $8 million right now.
It's still a win for Cleveland. They got what they needed out of it.
You know what would be even better for Cleveland? Is if Ryan Grigson was still the GM in Indianapolis. Maybe you could have spun back over to the Colts.
You could retrade Trent Richardson to the Colts.
It's a win for the. It's always been a win for the Browns. It was trending towards a Brownsy type thing to have him starting, but I think what they're doing here makes sense and is smart. Brock Osweiler is not even a bridge, let's be honest. He's just Brock Osweiler.
Right.
Get the kid in there if you think he can handle it.
There's no reason to think Brock would be better playing quarterback than DeShone Kizer or Cody Kessler, and he obviously has no future in Cleveland. Kessler still does, so that's why I said I can't see any scenario. If for some reason Kizer really shows that they believe he can't start, and my mind is they've basically made their mind up, Kaiser's going
to
be the week.
Well, they have
starter.
To be expecting some rocky play with Kizer.
For some reason, they changed their mind. They have Cody Kessler, and I think he'd start.
Cody Kessler is also there. So as we talked about,
let's not call it a deep quarterback situation. Yeah, deep, I mean, it's
but they have
very
a guy
perilous.
That they could say is our backup. If they ever found a way to move Brock, they wouldn't be totally vulnerable with Kaiser.
I mean, they're like a like a hamstring injury and a flu scenario away from Kevin Hogan starting.
If you're the Colts, as like desperate as the Colts are, and as bad as Scott Tolzien's looked, and as bad as that room is, like, why would you even believe that Brock Osweiler coming in there without any practice in that system is any better than those guys?
Moving on, let's talk about the New York Giants and also news that came out of the Monday night game. Odell Beckham goes up to grab a ball, grab a pass, gets undercut by a Browns safety. Who is the safety, Mark? Who's the culprit?
Brian Buddy Calhoun.
Oh, one of Mark's favorites.
He's a good player.
He's also one of Greg Williams' favorites. I'll leave it there.
Anyway. It was ruled a completely clean hit, by the way.
Odell Beckham injures his ankle. He ends up going back to the locker room, dropping to his knees down in the runway behind in the catacombs of the building. And now you're wondering, how serious is it? At first, everyone was worried, did he blow out his knee? No, it's an ankle injury. But how serious is the ankle injury? We don't know. We know that Beckham was not at practice on Wednesday with the Giants, per multiple reports. And on top of that, there is a report out there from ESPN.com that it is not out of the question that Beckham could miss a week or two of the regular season. So, you know, you wonder, I don't think it's been specified what kind of ankle injury is. Is it a high ankle injury? Whatever
no,
it is.
Coach Ben McAdoo would not say what type, but he just, today they asked him point blank, is there any chance he wouldn't be there for week one? All he would say is it's day to day. It's too far away to know.
But yeah. That would indicate you would think it's a high
there's
ankle
a chance.
Sprain.
Yeah.
You would think it's
which
a
is
high
bad. It's
I mean,
it, bad.
The report was a little soft, though, too. Like, there's a chance he could miss a week or two. There's a chance he won't. Well, that's great. Anything, there's a chance.
Greg wants a stronger report.
I'm just saying, there's a chance I could walk to San Diego. I mean, it's, like, not much of one. There's
I'd say low.
Chance.
Is that, well, what's the percentage chance of you walking?
It's pretty low.
It's pretty low.
Okay.
You'd have to have someone with a gun
just
to your head,
it's
you know, with something at stake for you to do that.
Where would you go? If you went to San Diego,
a lot of good taco, places, Pacific Beach.
I think you would need immediately water if you walked from here to San Diego before you started to eat tacos. Yeah. A lot of water.
I feel like it's potentially dangerous too. That type of trek. We worry about you, Greg.
I'm in good shape. I can handle it.
You're really feeling good about yourself physically.
Greg is this is
right now.
Two times in 12 minutes. Greg has notified us about his physical fitness.
Let's move back to some quarterback news because the Houston Texans have decided on their week one starter. After two preseason games, Bill O'Brien is sticking to his plan, and Tom Savage is the starter. Deshaun Watson, their first round pick, is the backup. O'Brien confirmed the stance in an interview with reporters in Houston on Tuesday. So we don't know, Greg, if Savage is somebody that will be starting by Halloween, for instance. But all we know is that they are, at least at the start of this thing, they're being a little bit conservative with their first-round pick. Is it the right move?
I think it is. I think Savage has played well in the preseason. By all accounts, he's played well in training camp. Bill O'Brien had this plan. This is kind of what you were hoping for. This is what didn't happen in Cleveland,
right,
or maybe isn't happening in Chicago, where the veteran that's the placeholder actually plays well and steps up. And I think they want to see – Bill O'Brien, for one, wants to see what Tom Savage can do. I think he believes in Savage. He drafted the kid in his first year in Houston. And I think they think he has potential, and most likely he's just, you know, holding the fort for a few weeks.
It's never the perfect scenario when you'd have to shove a rookie in. I don't care who it is. Even when it's Andrew Luck, you'd love to have someone grease the skids for half a season, show you what it's like to prepare for games from week to week. Tom Savage, who knows what his future is in Houston, but Bill O'Brien could not have asked for this to play out any better, because Deshaun Watson did not look day one ready to me. He does some things very well, but it's perfect for him to rest for a couple months. He will play this season, though.
I mean, do we have to admit at this point, 4 years into this bit, that Tom Savage, you know, week one starter, that's pretty real.
That's fairly
Tom
real.
Tom Savage is real.
That's as real as it gets.
Yeah. What do we need? What do we need to retire the Tom Savage drop? How about this? I know it's completely arbitrary, but it's the first thing that popped in my head. A single game where he has a 100 passer rating in a regular season contest.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like he's crossed certain barriers that would prove to us that he's a real human being already.
Well, we also
we want to belabor the experiment, but there could be new things he needs to do.
Don't forget about the theory we had that it was Nick Cage –
a very loose theory.
He does look like Nick Cage.
A gritty football role, and he was a doppelganger scenario.
A very loose theory.
Not even a doppelganger, because Tom Savage might not be real.
It would be like a face-off scenario type of thing.
Interesting.
It's possible.
Anyway, moving on. So, you know, Mark, you know we've been way plugged in on this. Is Joe Flacco's back injury a fluke?
Yeah, I mean, this we've been on top of this from the minute this apparent injury happened.
It's witty wordplay like this is why people keep coming back.
This is how we got the Stitcher in 13, guys. This is how we got Best New Podcast in 12. A little bit of an award drought. But
back when RG3 was
we're like a shining story. We're like the Marissa Tomei of award winners. It's like in 15 years, we're going to have a big-time comeback, and everyone will be like, hey, where's Tomei been? She should have been around more.
Yeah, that actually feels like a very real possibility, best-case scenario for the show. Anyway.
I love Tomei. Big fan.
She's talented. Joe Flacco, he's got the injury. Doesn't look like a fluco because he has not practiced. He is not going to sniff the preseason. We know that. So, again, despite the Ravens continuously playing it down and John Harbaugh not really being big on talking about it in detail, there's questions about whether Joe Flacco is going to be ready for the start of the season. So what do the reporters do? They go to Marty Mornhinweg, the team's offensive coordinator, and they ask him for a soundbite. He gives them one. They say, hey, Marty, is there a time you'd like to see Joe back practicing for you to have a comfort level? Marty really cut through all the BS and gave us a hard answer, and there's no more questions.
Marty, is there a time you would like to see Joe practicing for you to have a comfort level?
Yeah, well, I think I know, and at least Joe thinks he knows when this will happen. So that way I think I know, and so we think we know. And look, if it's before that or a little bit before, it's probably not going to be much before, but maybe a little bit before or a little bit after, we'll adjust the plan. And then so as long as he's back with a reasonable amount of time to prepare, I think we're going to be just fine there. Yeah.
Any questions?
I mean, this is essentially an underling that once the question was asked, realized I need to not generate a headline here or provide any.
Like, hum-a-na.
So you're dancing around that gets you to the point where the soundbite is going crazy because you've just done a who's on first scenario.
Yeah. That's fair. We've all been there where you're saying something and it's like, shut up, say something different. Right. And all of a sudden you've been talking for 40 seconds.
Typically straight. In like interpersonal scenarios.
They keep saying how confident they are as he keeps not practicing and as they keep making all their previous statements look like lies essentially. Because they said at one point he's playing in the preseason. They said at one point he's not returning 3 to 6 weeks. It's been a long time. And regardless of – okay, let's say he returns to practice next week, but that's a best-case scenario. How could you not be worried if you're a Ravens coach, just that he's not going to get hurt again?
I'm with you.
Moving on. Hard Knocks. We're not going to do a full episode recap of episode 3 of 5, which aired on Tuesday night and later in the week in other markets overseas. That's, you know, we care about – hey, listen, we care about our listeners and viewers very much overseas. We just don't give an F what the time zone is. These are two separate situations, and I just want to make that clear.
Don't give an F, and secondly, hardly you could be tested to figure it out.
Yeah.
You could figure it out how to skip ahead right now if you really didn't want any spoilers.
This won't be much of a spoiler, though, but there was an aspect of Tuesday's episode where the ESPN Monday Night crew, headed by your boy, John Gruden, came to Bucks camp to meet with players, including Jameis Winston. When Winston enters the room, he sees Rex Ryan, who is on the ESPN. I had forgotten about this. Life moves on, and then all of a sudden there was Rex. Popped up. He's on ESPN. He's an analyst. And let's play the clip here, and I just have a quick thought as a sad Jets fan.
What's up, Jameis?
How you doing, man? Good to see you.
What's up, man?
What's up, Coach?
How you doing?
You with this crew now?
Yeah, well, now I'm a backup. Jameis, here's the thing I see. Nobody won more than you did in college. You know what I mean? It's the same damn game. You have everything on this team you need to win. You know, I'm jealous. I never had a quarterback like you. Unfortunately, I got plenty of time to watch you.
Okay, he's being self-deprecating there. And in the actual episode, if you watch the whole episode, it turns into at one point It goes from, because this is basically a fact-finding mission for the game telecast. Rex, like, turns into a coach and starts telling Jameis Winston all the things he has to do to take his game to the next level, and gets really passionate and clearly, you know, slips out of this media role he's been forced into. But the point I wanted to make was that, as somebody that studies Hard Knocks very closely, obviously, and you can read the episode recaps at NFL.com/Hard Knocks, it was really sad, and as a Jets fan, to see Rex so marginalized in the scene. He's back on Hard Knocks for the first time in 7 years. He's a Hard Knocks legend. It's the stuff of myth if you watch the show.
Best season ever.
Yeah, he was gregarious. He was foul-mouthed. He was just entertaining. It was perfect, his performance in that season, and it was one of the more exciting, if ultimately fruitless, times for the Jets. And then to see him now 7 years later, John Gruden's backup guy, he calls himself a backup. It reminded me of, and Connor and I were talking about this, like, it reminded me of, like, a guy that ruled his high school.
Yeah.
And then, like, he comes back 7 years later, and he's, like, the gym teacher. And it's just kind of like, aw.
I can't think of a coach that I'd rather have huddled up with my quarterback to teach him how to raise that position's level of play. But yeah.
He is right. He never did have a quarterback like Jameis Winston, but I don't know if that would have made a difference.
Well, they would have potentially, wherever he was, they would have met pre-draft process and probably gotten to know each other pretty well at that point.
Right, and I think Rex, he's not even going to try to hide how much he misses the game.
No.
And is itching to get back. So we'll see how this ESPN role goes. Part of the reason he was there is because he's practicing doing color analyst work, because he's going to be doing the Monday Night Football doubleheader. So I think they were there practicing doing the game, not even on air. And we'll see. I just can't imagine he's going to get that much juice from being an announcer. I think he'll be someone's assistant or a coordinator next year.
I'm with you 100% on the timeline, but I honestly think if I was excited about potentially seeing Jay Cutler call games, Rex has annoyed me 1,000 times over, but I think he'll be fun to watch.
Oh, I love that game, by the way. Simeon, Rivers, end of week one, late night, Denver. I love that week one doubleheader. It's ending at 1 in the morning.
Simeon, your nephew or something?
Simeon, Rivers, two Titans finally collide.
I guess I know your answer, guys, but I did post a poll because Connor Orr and I have a vodka wager on the line about Rex Ryan. I say he'll return in some capacity as an NFL coach. Connor thinks it's done. Connor thinks that either he's going to college or he's kind of like run out of chances and he's done and you're not going to see him on the sidelines again. Almost 2,500 people voted, 56.4% say that Rex will return on my end of things. So good news for Danny and Tito's potentially. But you guys both think he'll be back as well in some capacity?
I like the college idea, because if you're Rex, you've had to move around a couple times at this point. And another, latching on as a DC, that could be a 1 or 2 year gig too. College, he could plug in and be a really good college coach, fit an atmosphere, and be there for 15 years potentially.
Yeah, that makes some sense, and you can be the head guy. I just think he loves football so much that one way or another, I think he would accept being a coordinator or a linebacker's coach if it came to it to get back.
I would have thought that about Gruden, though, too.
I think a linebacker is a positional coach job he won't take, but I did use this example when Connor and I were talking about it. He might not be able to get a defensive coordinator job immediately,
really?
But he could, to me, work his way back there quickly, and he'll get the – and the first name that came to mind was Greg Williams when he came back to the Titans. I was like, what ridiculous title did they give them to satiate his ego and get him back in the league? And that title was – get ready. Get ready. Here it comes. Senior assistant / defense.
Yeah.
I could see Rex coming back
to the head coach. Yeah, exactly. Whatever. I mean, they'll find a way to, you know, appease. Would you really, unless you were a super alpha male, empowered head coach, do you really want Rex Ryan as one of your coordinators from a personality standpoint?
I think this is a humbling time for Rex.
Yeah.
Maybe he comes back and is little down a couple pegs. And the last few years have not been easy on him.
By the way, last few years, his defensive scheme didn't work either.
It'd have to be someone that maybe worked with him before, but it's not like Rex has like a coaching tree of guys who have gotten head jobs. I don't know.
Well, how about Anthony
Lynn? Marvin Lewis or those guys?
Mike Pettine's still
get a little Anthony Lynn flipperoo there.
Mike Pettine's still living in that treehouse overlooking Browns practice.
That's unkind. That's unkind.
Just
it was uncalled for.
Oh, I'm sorry. Whoa, Mike Pettine friends over here.
Yeah, how dare you?
That was uncalled for, Dan.
Did he get a job?
He is in search of one still, and I think he's a candidate to get a college job at some point too.
He's getting paid though by
that's the thing.
Family.
There are roughly 20 to 30 coaches out there that are probably on the beach because they're still getting paid by Cleveland.
All right, let's move on now. It's time for Training Camp Spotlight, presented, of course, by our friends at New Era. Well, we've never met them, but they seem like they could be very good people. Their hats are
giving.
Obviously great.
I mean, they're exploding is what they are. These hats just multiply every week.
Here's the Lev Bell deal. This became official on Tuesday that he is going to report to the Steelers on September 1st, ending, I guess it's not technically a holdout. Because he didn't have to be here.
He's unsigned. He's not technically on the team.
So anyway, he will report to the team on September 1st, and that is not coincidentally after the third preseason game, or the fourth and final preseason game. Which, by the way, I don't want to cycle back real quick, but another example of the Odell Beckham situation. Get these guys off the field for these preseason games, especially your star players. What is there to gain?
Especially a guy who's does not have a long-term contract, under his belt right now.
What is there to gain? Anyway, so Bell will be back with the team September 1st. So let's take a look now at the running back situation for the Steelers. Mark, your thoughts on that room? They got a nice little rookie there, too.
I think you add James Conner. They like Fitzgerald Toussaint. He's someone they've leaned on for a couple years. It really the way the timing this worked out, is anyone surprised on any level?
Not at all.
Le'Veon Bell rolls in exactly when I think most of us thought it would potentially happen, and it is. And as long as he's kept himself in premier shape, which I would imagine, then I don't really think we need to worry much about Fitz, Toussaint, and James Conner.
No.
For a big chunk of the season, that is their workhorse.
Well, you have to wonder, he's going to have about one padded practice, someone pointed out, before the season starts, and only have about four practices total. That's not much. So
then he'll have 210 total yards.
At a position where I think that's different than if he were a quarterback.
Right, so they're at Cleveland week one. It's not a huge break for the Browns, but I don't think you're getting the full Lev Bell experience that week. And this whole thing of, announcing when he's coming back has been strange. It's put his teammates in weird situations. I found it very interesting on Wednesday that Ben Roethlisberger was asked about Le'Veon Bell, and he had said weeks ago that he sent Bell two text messages and Bell never responded. And then he updated that today to say, yeah, Lev still has never
kind of dogging
back
dogging
to me.
QB1.
So if I'm Ben Roethlisberger, why are you putting that business out there? You're making yourself look like a little bit of a clown.
How about he's making Lev Bell look bad too?
It's no almost like he's trying to make Lev Bell look bad, but I see it and I look at it like, hey, we kind of know Lev Bell's been in touch with some of these offensive linemen. That's not showing your QB1 much respect.
We have people in this company that if you text them, they don't text back either. So,
Who is that?
Plenty of people.
A lot of people. Some people don't return texts.
Okay.
Is that a shot at one of us? I didn't know.
No, not at all. In fact, see the three of us text each other along with Wes more than any people I've ever known in my entire life. So certainly not a shot at us.
Too much texting. But yeah, it made Ben look a little small there.
A little bit. And you know what that was, guys?
That was a
little training camp
little
spotlight.
Segment we like to call that.
Training Camp Spotlight presented by New Era.
Thought it was one of the better ones.
I thought it was really good. Guerrero's got to be pleased with that.
Are they monitoring closely?
I'm not thrilled because my desk, if you're watching on video, you would know this, but I'm in a different spot today because Wes isn't here.
Yeah.
And it has been part of my contract to have the Patriots hat in front of me, and that's not the case today. So
very tough situation.
Tough spot for Tim Posey after the show.
Throne of ease. By the way, Greg, you have not it has not escaped my eye that you are wearing one of the brand new NFL Network.
Oh, yeah.
Polo.
I thought this would be a good spot for it. It's a video show. It's still summer outside.
All right, let's talk about New Era a little bit more. New Era's NFL training collection has a great combination of innovative performance and style with features like UV protection, moisture wicking, and cooling technology. There's no reason you shouldn't make the New Era NFL training collection a part of your daily attire.
Every day, please.
Like, what if you're at a wedding?
I don't care where you are.
You can wear it before the wedding and then clean up.
What if you're at, and God forbid, what if you're at your mother's funeral?
Well, that's a horrible scenario, that's but maybe when you get home and you're decompressing, you could wear a hat then, a new era hat.
Crack open a beer, put on your Colts cap, and think about the good times.
It's there, it's there for you on positive and negative days.
Anyway, these hats are available at retailers like Lids, NFLShop.com, and Dick's Sporting Goods in your favorite team. Love you, Mom. All right. Here we go. Oh, very excited. Now, the segment we're about to do. Let me first set up the segment. The name of this segment is
Roto World Blurbs from the Future.
Very good.
All right.
Very good. Off to a good start here. Erica Tamposi behind the glass again, showing her wiles in a big spot. Very, very talented. Very
great job.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here we go. Now, everyone uses Roto World. Everybody. If you don't use it, you're a lying piece of garbage, okay? Because
nothing more.
If you like fantasy, you use RotoWorld. You can use other stuff like NFL.com. We have a lot of great writers on NFL.com in the fantasy realm. Nice podcast, all that stuff. But you're going to use RotoWorld.
News. Yeah, you know, for fantasy news. For like the little blurbs.
How about the old Zeuser? In a spot, if I want to like catch up on what's just going on in the league, sometimes I'll just pop over to RotoWorld right there, too.
Great mobile app, too. Very easy to use.
What an app. Yeah,
this is really working out well for the RotoWorld people. So what they're famous for, their quick blurbs. You get right to it. Greg knows all about it. He is the founder of RotoWorld, built it brick by brick.
That's not true.
HTML, at least. He built that.
Did not build that. Did work there for about 9 years.
You built the structure where you worked.
A founding father.
Founding father?
I guess. I mean, that makes me sound like Ben Franklin or something.
Greg's here, and that's cool. But I do want to, since Greg's been out of the game a little bit, we're going to write some Roto World blurbs from the future. And I thought maybe we could use some guidance for someone that's a little more, let's say, you know, relevant in that company.
Whoa,
at this point. Nothing personal, Greg. So I reached out to our friend of the pod, Evan Silva, the big fish. Mm. And
so the first thing you do when you're trying to write a RotoWorld news blurb is you have to find some blurb-worthy news. Let's go to Adam Schefter's Twitter feed.
Pay attention.
Schefter tweeted that Seth DeValve has won the Browns' starting tight end job over David Njoku and Randall Telfer. Schefter has not actually tweeted this, but this is what I dream about, and I know Quiet Storm dreams about Schefter tweeting. So for this specific exercise, let's pretend Schefter tweeted it.
Writing this down,
so,
Greg?
We run into our admin and we pull up Seth DeValve's RotoWorld news page.
Okay.
Adam Schefter reports Seth DeValve has won the Browns starting tight end job.
Okay.
That's our top line. We're keeping it simple. We create a headline on the site. DeValve beats out Njoku for starting TE job.
Noted.
And then we moved on to the opinion portion. These are the blue letters down below where we add some stats or context or our opinion about this player and perhaps his fantasy football value.
Beautiful.
I mean, just, Mark, are you curious what that actual write-up would be?
I'm very curious. Well, I'd love to see it, you know, from the words of Evan Silva. Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
Here's what we're going to go with for the opinion section. A spark freak genius who played college ball at Princeton then completely annihilated his pro day in 2016 with an absurd 40-inch vertical leap and a cornerback-like 6.963 cone time. DeValve ran laps around Njoku from the moment the hyped rookie arrived in Berea, creating cavities of preseason separation despite Brock the Heist Osweiler's inability to connect. DeValve's Gronkian August play walked in as one of this year's premier fantasy sleepers. If DeValve is on your league's waiver wire, don't walk to your computer to pick him up. Run.
I love it.
So that's how you do it.
Silva's a master.
What a week for DeValve, by the way. You know, get involved.
It really is.
With the kneeling before the national anthem.
Yep. Yeah. Unifier.
Which I thought was great. Yeah. I thought it was a great message and great job by the Browns in general, and now getting mentioned by Silva.
Also, like, but Seth, the only problem with that is DeValve now is like a real news person. He's like in the news as a quote unquote important figure. And are you a little annoyed, Mark?
Well, I had number one, I'm not annoyed because I think it was, personally, I found it a great moment for the Browns and what they express as a team. But secondly, I got tons of tweets saying, oh, maybe your little Seth DeValve snark machine might need to end at this point. It's like, well, by the way, we were always hoisting him up as a,
yeah.
a quality guy and a great teammate. And that's come through. I think actually we were on this story far before human events.
Okay, let's get back to the point. Good job, Seth. We're proud of you. I didn't see you taking notes, Greg, but yes, that is the way to write.
Well, I take umbrage because who was the one schooling Evan Silva on how to write these blurbs back in the day? No, tighten up the opinion part. You know, no, like we don't want two sentences up top. You got to put the source in there up top if it's a report. You know, all sorts of stuff. I was writing the book. I didn't start the company or anything.
This segment should go through without.
I was writing the book on how to do all those blurbs.
Literally the book.
Yeah. Well, I was telling him what to do. You know, you can ask Evan. Not a lot of friendly instant message.
Dan, this is some high level pot stirring by you.
Yes.
Yeah, I had no idea this would get under Greg's skin, but apparently it has. Anyway, so now that we have these instructions, let's go around the room.
Feel a little intimidated writing these for the first time ever next to the guy that essentially created the franchise.
Yes.
Well, the good thing is it's simple. It's very simple. Anyone can follow it. And that's, because you have six or seven writers, you got to have it all one voice.
All right, so one last time. It is time for
Roto World Blurbs from the future.
Greg, get us going.
All right.
These are from the future. They have not happened yet. That's what the future is about. But they will.
And if you watch, if you watch on online, on video, you can see our little Roto World blurbs we got ready. But the headline here, Shady Times in Buffalo Coming to an End? LeSean McCoy said after Sunday's Week 6 loss that the Bills' offense, quote, doesn't have a clue. This is dated October 22nd, 2017. And then the analysis. This has been building for a while. Fresh off a season where the team led the NFL in rushing, McCoy is averaging a paltry 3.5 yards per carry with only one touchdown on the season. Yikes, this is Week 6. It's hard to imagine McCoy sticking around for a second year under Coach Sean McDermott. And has us wondering if the Bills start looking for trade partners before Halloween's deadline. Return to Philadelphia would make a lot of sense.
Wow. I mean, that a little beefy maybe in terms of the word count, but
maybe.
Otherwise exactly why that
you
got would be.
I did add that four sentence in. I always liked it three sentences, nice and tight.
You got the information out there.
All right.
Opinion.
That's a good one, and actually it is definitely happening. These are from the future.
Yeah.
That one doesn't surprise me that much.
It would be great news.
It would be a tough year in Orchard
Park. It would be great news for our friend in the desert, the Consigliere, to have Jonathan Williams.
His name is Spice Rack.
Spice Rack. Yes. Jonathan Williams, also a sleeper of Evan Silva this year, Jonathan Williams, so that would be good news for him.
There we go. Let's move on to the next headline from the future. This one is Christian Hackenberg's dream season rolls on.
Wonder who wrote this one.
All right, next blurb. Hackenberg completed 27 of 28 passes for 387 yards and four touchdowns as the Jets rolled over the Broncos in Week 14. Now with the blue text, his lone incompletion came on a clock-killing spike late in the first half with a favorable schedule ahead, including a Week 17 matchup against the crazy disappointing and frankly embarrassing Patriots. Hackenberg is in excellent position to become the league's first unanimous MVP since Tom Brady in 2010. Dated Sunday, December 10th, 2017, 7:40.
What a Cinderella story.
I feel good about it. I mean, I can't say that I'm
expecting this. I feel
like
you went a little safe there with that one, but it's okay.
Yeah, I didn't know that this was supposed to be a comedy routine. I thought we were supposed to be giving some predictions, some analysis of what fans might expect to see instead of your dream scenario. That'll never happen.
This is not a dream. This is the future. Sometimes the future can feel like a dream, but this is not. This is reality. It just hasn't happened yet. Mark, keep us going.
Very solid by you. All right, let's go back to New England. McDaniels bolting Pro Football for the pool. By the way, my white text, they've meshed with my blue if you're on the video show here. My white text is nice and brief up top. According to Ginger B. Harkins of GridironNotebook.net, Patriots play caller Josh McDaniels is considering a departure from the NFL to coach women's swimming.
Big scoop for Ginger. Thought a swimming writer would break this, but no. Nope.
Well, let's get down get down to the analysis. The celebrated offensive coordinator has become enamored with the sport since picking up a swimming magazine at a newsstand during a family vacation in Ibiza. McDaniels is in talks to take up the coaching mantle at Lee Harvey Oswald High School in Ipswich, Mass., where the girls' team is anchored by Olympic freestyle hopeful Jessica Tangential. That's all you're getting out of the analysis.
What kind of town?
That is from February 9th, 2018, 3:11 p.m.
What kind of school district names a school after John Kennedy's assassin?
This is far into the future. The season's over. Got no information about what will happen in the season.
There
just
you go.
That. When was that vacation in Ibiza? Didn't know that's a family place to go.
Well, I don't know.
The report. It's McDaniel, from the future.
That's right. The report has some shady aspects to it.
Greg, keep us going.
What do we got next? Do we got?
Let's go to that little Kenny Vaccaro blurb.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
bring us back to reality.
The Roto World, they don't just do offensive posts. They do defensive posts all
the time.
All the time. Headline, hell getting chilly as Saints defense excels again.
Mm. I get that. Hell freezes over.
There you go. Saints safety Kenny Vaccaro recorded 6 tackles, 1 interception, 2 pass defense, a sack, and 2 tackles for loss in a 24-14 victory over the Panthers in Week 3. This is September 24, 2017. Comment on that, little opinion. The Saints defense is respectable. Vaccaro is off to a monster start to his contract years as one of the most valuable safeties in IDP leagues and the NFL as a whole. The Saints move to 2-1 with a surprising formula of sound defense led by a deep secondary and a much improved linebacker crew. If this keeps up, the team will be able to keep feeding their productive three-headed backfield a ton of carries each week. Way to go, Vaccaro.
Like that. Stretched into nearly a long form there with the analysis.
Those are the same amount as anything. 3 sentences, that's what you got.
I do.
You want to add the – says, you know, I've done this. You want to add as much fantasy goodness and content as you can. You want to have it the reader really understand the context of why you're bringing this to the fore.
How does it feel to be flexing these muscles again? I feel like you're a little energized during this segment.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing a little.
Or maybe challenged after Silva showed up.
Yeah, that's true. I wouldn't mind doing a little morning news shift. You just go through all the Twitter and
I will say
newspapers.
Saints defense looking intriguing in the preseason. You might not be too far off.
Moving up, no, it's actually the reality.
Oh, it's actually happening.
Yeah, not you. Gotcha.
More reality. Headline: Mike Glennon still at the Bears draft party. John Fox confirmed a report that the lanky fifth-year passer has been in a curled fetal position behind a popcorn machine at Soldier Field since Chicago drafted Mitch Trubisky. Mm. And now it's time for some analysis. Glennon accepted a team. Well, actually, I messed it up because there's a little more background here. See, I'm new to this Roto World.
Sometimes you have to dig in
rusty.
A little deeper in the background.
Well, the good thing is you can always edit it live. There's a lot of
can.
Yeah, there's a lot of mistakes that go up on the site back at least, you know, back in the day. Maybe it's a little cleaner now. Then you clean it.
Seems
up.
Very clean today.
I think you'll like the end of it, though, Greg. I think you'll be proud. Glennon accepted a team invite to attend a fan draft party on April 28th. Fox said the club has been employing a limber-neck doppelganger during the preseason. Fake Glennon, age unknown, is worth a look as a 2-quarterback league play. Help there for people. Friday, August 25th, 2017.
That was good. I mean, if you really wanted to sound fantasy, it'd be like, Glennon is a low-end QB2, something like that.
All right, Mark, take us through one more time.
Let's go to the Bay Area.
Okay.
San Francisco, no more waning for NFL enigma Waxy. 49ers coach Kyle Shanahan calls undrafted running back Francisco Waxy, in quotes, the key to our ground game
Waxy.
2018. This comes right at the end of the season, by the way. A ghost during his rookie year and considered no more than a myth by fans, Waxy has exploded during late season practices for Cam Inman of the Bay Area News Group. He's someone the organization treasures, Shanahan said after watching Waxy run for 174 yards and 2 touchdowns in the final quarter of Sunday's regular season beatdown of the Rams.
Mm.
Wow.
Waxy resurfaces in a big spot.
I hold off on the fantasy advice because it's January 2nd. A lot can happen between January 2nd and fantasy drafts next summer.
It's worth watching the video just to see the headshot that Waxy has, because I don't know how Roto World managed to do this, but it seemed to be a hand drawing of Waxy.
Well, that has a lot to do with the NFL podcast scenario's deep ruling on how to use graphical images and photographs that are out on the internet.
I think it worked out well.
Subtweet right there.
The readers. Listeners.
All right, one more time around the horn. Let's do it one more time.
All right.
Or should we stop?
No, let's go. This around. Is great.
One more time. Greg, take us back to the throne of Eve.
Oh, this is a long one, too. Headline.
Right, I mean, this is your world.
No, but it's really not that long. It just seems long when we're reading out loud. Okay. The joy of Rex. See, I stuck with the future, not too far in the future.
Kind
this is October 1st. 2017. Rex Burkhead rushed for 74 yards on 13 carries, caught six passes for 43 yards, and scored two touchdowns in a Week 4 victory. Don't say we didn't warn you. Roto-World Svengali, Evan Silva has been banging the Burkhead drum with authority since the preseason, and those who have listened have been rewarded with steady RB1/2 production on 15-plus touches per week. Unfortunately, Silva has grown drunk with power after a particularly strong season as a tout and now roams the streets of Chicago shirtless, yelling, "Who's talking trash about my Ernest Wilford sleeper call now?"
Mm.
Wow.
That's October 1st. That's only a few more months until the full meltdown happens for Silva. Unfortunate.
Yeah, and a great and at least it comes along with great news for Burkhead owners. You know, if you take him late in the draft, that's yeah. great news. And I'm surprised Silva's really held on to that Wilford criticism for so long, because that's a decade since.
Well, it led to his unraveling
as a sleeper.
That is very surprising. Silva, by the way, was just named in a report somewhere as the number one mentioned fantasy name in the game.
Big time.
Pretty big.
How do you feel about that?
I think it's great.
Our own Adam Rank,
he's
number
the best.
Two. It's pretty nice.
Nice job Silva by Rank. Nice job by Silva.
All right, moving on.
So that was my subtle tease to the Fantasy Spectacular, which I believe is starting this Friday.
On Friday.
That was a little early
info. It's back.
If you got Wednesday or Thursday drafts, go get you some wrecks.
All right. Headline, report, Lions Institute, quote, home games only policy. The Motown Daily Register cited unnamed sources in reporting that the Lions will forfeit all road contests this season in favor of an 8-game season that includes no air travel and, quote, significantly depressed logistical concerns, close quote. Here's the analysis. A little bit more reporting. One anonymous line was quoted as saying, "This is, like, way easier, man." The writing's been on the wall here since Detroit was the last team to report for training camp this summer. Of course, don't forget about Jim Caldwell's decision to turn his back on the solar eclipse in a big spot. That was another red flag. We advise you to steer clear of Lions players in all formats until they reinstitute a full 16-game schedule. Wednesday, September 6, 2017, 11:58 a.m.
I mean, rock solid advice at the end there. To jump off these Detroit players from a fantasy perspective.
No, that's a big durability problem if they're only playing home games. You're only getting 8 games out of them.
All right. Mercifully, Mark, wrap it up.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure from the B-roll, it just said Kenny Chesney tour 2008 on sale right now. Okay, let's go.
All right, back to New England one more time. Seems to be the only place we are. Steve Belichick, engineer behind Pat's dynasty. Santa Monica's RAND Corporation claims Steve Belichick's iconic scouting tome riddled with secret messages. In a stunning paper published Tuesday, expert linguist Lionel Billingsley claims to have found, in quotes, legions of coded text within the pages of Football Scouting Methods, the 1962 opus by Navy coaching legend Steve Belichick, father of Bill. Taking the 14th letter of every paragraph from Chapter 3, What is Expected of the Scout, Billingsley unearthed the dark mantra that begins, "My loving boy William and I spent 900-plus hours working with government intelligence men in Peru to create a perfect football player we call Tommy." October 10th, 2017.
Wow. I mean, that's going to rock the football world.
That would rock them.
And I got a feeling that that could lead to maybe a loss of another first-round pick.
I mean, this RAND Corporation is a real thing.
Right up the street from
you. It's in Santa Monica. It's international policy and research. It was one of the key research foundations, I believe, that helped get the country into the Vietnam War. You would think that would have helped put them out of business, but no, they keep growing.
Well,
they're right outside the park that I go to
they
sometimes.
Are. Their projects,
like RAND Corp.
Their projects, I think, have changed to some degree. I think they're still nefarious, and they're off the grid, such as this.
Very off the grid. There you go. Those were Roto-World blurbs from the future. Mm. Wow. All right. Before we go.
I think that RAND Corp Vietnam take was a bad take.
I thought you said that.
It's a mistake.
I misheard you. I thought you said, I thought that ran long, and you're right. It did ran long.
No, that was great. That was great.
All right, here we go. Before we get out of here, let's welcome him in. You know who he is. You know who it is. It's time for Trash Takes with Patrick Claybon.
Oh, yeah.
And now, Trash Takes with Patrick Claybon.
What?
That's big time.
Drop the bomb on me. Just go ahead and do that. That's incredible.
Yeah, when you get Frags voicing your bit, you know you've made it.
Frags was excited about me going up here. I couldn't figure out why.
Now you know.
No. Frags actually approached me privately on Monday, and she got back from one of her European jaunts that she's known for.
Also known as her weekend.
Yeah, and had a very raspy voice to her, and she said, hey, if you need me this week, I'm in fine form. And I said, hey, I might take you up on that.
She was like the daughter of Kim Carnes.
All right, so Patrick Claybon, you know why you're here. Because whenever something in the NFL that has, you know, a little bit of heat to it, a little hot sauce on it, a storyline that leads to hot takes, that's where Patrick Claybon comes in. He is the hot takes ombudsman of NFL media, of really media, period. So he is now going to step in and share some of the hottest takes he came across, the trash takes, the trashiest takes he came across when Odell Beckham hurt his ankle on Monday night against the Browns.
Yeah, we're sitting there and you see Odell go down and your initial thought is, oh my God, this guy is so important to the Giants. Well, these people on the internet, they have other opinions.
Okay.
And shout out to Alex Wilk, who helped me go through these and kind of and sort them out and make sure that we're not maligning anyone. So these are paraphrased.
That is, you know, that was on our radar before the show. I think people, if you have a trash take and you put it out and you publish it, it's you're publishing your own work. You should have your name on it and it puts you out there to be criticized. But Alex is looking out for the greater good.
And he's got to take care of all of us, and we appreciate Alex. All right, first off, OBJ, this trash tweet. I was watching OBJ walk to locker room. Questions, why didn't anybody from Giants go with him? Also, would Odell drop to his knees if camera wasn't there?
Yeah, let's break this down. Two parts. The first part, why didn't anyone walk to the locker room with him? I don't know. I never really thought about that.
There was a lot of conspiracy theories about this. Why is he alone?
That got on my radar a little bit, but I'll hear your side.
So
to
far,
it.
Yeah. Halfway through,
not a big deal.
I wouldn't call it a trash take. It's interesting to wonder. He's the signature player on the team. Part two.
Yeah, part
two. Can you read that again?
Would Odell have dropped to his knees if the camera wasn't there?
Hey, you want the answer, Patrick? Because I'll give you the answer, in my opinion. He would not have dropped to his knees. I'm in on this trash
You're
take.
You're in on it?
I'm totally in on it.
So in our old format, Dan would be retweeting this.
He'd be slamming the
he
retweet.
He loves it. All right, here's a little backstory. We watched this game in Chris Wesseling's hospital room.
Yes.
As a foursome. It was a very unique podcast
shout out
experience
to Wes.
That no one was taping. And Dan basically had this trash take out loud at the time.
Yeah, well, I thought you were going to give me credit that I said get Odell out of the game.
That was true. That was amazing. He was like, get Odell out of the game a play before that happened. But then, yes, you thought he was playing up for the camera, which I thought was unfair.
I totally think that Odell plays it up for the camera, and I think the dropping to his knees is full. He's fully aware that the camera's behind him. He likes it. I'm not even saying it makes him some type of, like, you know, playboy or some guy that's like a glory boy type thing. I'm just saying he likes it. He likes being the center of attention. I don't think that's trashy.
It just didn't surprise me that of all the players in the league that would have had this pantomime, this moment that was captured perfectly on crisp, like 70-millimeter footage, it was like Odell in the middle of like an empty hallway.
How many players in the NFL do we get the full Bill Goldberg walk?
Right,
all
exactly.
The way,
that
every single
that
step
part
to
is
the
fair. You normally wouldn't have seen him. And he just suffered what looks like, if I had to guess, a high ankle sprain. First, it's a little weird that there was no one with him, like carting him or anything. But if he just suffered an injury that's knocking one of the country's best athletes out of action for 3 or 4 weeks, that probably hurts.
Yep, the second part of it doesn't happen if the first part doesn't. If there are team officials with him guiding him back to the locker room, the second part where he's alone on the ground,
this is trash, bro.
He has a cinematic viewpoint of his entire existence. He believes he's the star of his own movie. On some level, he is. He's walking down this empty hallway, and there's a lot of, like, there's a metaphor to that, that all of a sudden he's all alone. He's no longer on the battlefield, and he's alone with his injury. Oh! There's a cameraman behind me.
Oh, stop.
Let's bring this up to the next notch. Not trash to me.
Okay. Well, this second one goes along with a similar theme.
Oh. Ew, what's that smell? It's Trash Takes with Patrick Claybon.
Get the truck going. All right, similar themes of all of these. We just went with three. But number two, the hit obviously looked bad. Ellipses. But Odell Beckham Jr. always knows where that camera's at and can't miss the opportunity to be the center of attention. Again, this dance all over this one. This is,
you know what? Okay, I'll stay out of this. Somebody else.
I think it's good. I think it's healthy for the trash take segment to have disagreement.
Yeah, yeah, it makes it better.
I'll say this: the hit looked very bad when it happened.
Yes.
So if he was in pain, I ain't not taking that away from him. I don't think he was uncomfortable at all. And he was probably also, here's a guy that wished he had signed a long-term deal before he got stuck in some preseason game where now he's talking about taking out a massive insurance policy. I'm sure there's fear and concern on multiple levels happening no matter if you're Odell Beckham or any other player.
It's an emotional moment. I don't know. I'm not gonna get on him for what's happening.
The second part I agree with from before. Still.
You know, I'm gonna channel my old man. Keith Hansis, you go, Danny, this is Beckham. He's an actor. It's definitely what my dad thinks.
No emotion expressed from any NFL player.
But anyway, I think it's totally, yeah, that's the thing.
The third one isn't about the helmet at all, is it? Because that was another thing.
No,
got
but let's
on
stay
my
here
radar.
For a second. It's, you can be hurt, and I think he was obviously hurt, but also still be, you know, knowing that every camera's on you. He likes that. I don't even think that's a bad thing necessarily.
Yeah, but he
enjoys that the cameras are there, and I think he always, part of his celebrity, I think, is that he kind of plays to the cameras a little bit, no matter what the
injuries
situation.
Even, for example, when he punches a wall, the camera doesn't have to be there, but Odell knows that there's going to be a camera there later, and that's why he's punching a wall. I guess that's the theory that we're going at there.
That,
it's like, well, somebody
that's
might trip attention
take, I guess.
To this thing that I did,
yeah.
And then after the fact, it'll be – all right, anyway, we can go to –
that's
the,
a deep thought.
Yeah. We'll go to the third and final theme of
– hey, Richie, take out the garbage.
I can't read these –
Patrick Claybaugh.
Don't walk over your own trap.
No, I'm trying not to. I'm just so excited. I can't read this one specifically because it's
we've been tampered down considerably.
We've been tampered down a bit, but
the
general theme is criticism of his masculinity.
Oh, okay,
see,
because he chose to be frustrated.
That's trash.
That's trash.
I'm totally with that.
We don't need to go there.
In general, this idea that people on Twitter see a guy suffer an injury, and then that's, and this happens as someone that grew up in New York. It's any division, but especially like Eagles fans and Redskins fans and Giants fans, they all hate each other, and they all think their players are the worst people alive. And there is a lack of humanity sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. A lot of times on Twitter. And it comes out with things like this. This guy, he might miss time, Beckham, but he came very close to having his career impacted forever.
Right.
So, you know, back off the physical toughness angle here. It's a tough sport to play.
That's why the tweets, and I saw a couple of them questioning, oh, just had to throw off his helmet right away, you know, like that was necessary. I'm like, do we have, first of all, that always happens when players get hurt. They take off their helmet. Like, second,
Greg just subtweeted someone in this company.
It's second.
So you could look it up.
There was a few of those, though.
Yeah.
Second, it's the moment where a 200-pound man just hit his knee going full speed with a helmet as hard as he could. Like,
classic
Browns. I'm not questioning the
it is not classic Browns. They normally miss the tackle by 7 or 8 yards.
I'm not questioning the action of what he does 3 seconds after that.
You're a new father. I would imagine one of your primary, you know, instincts, teachings that you're passing down is to avoid some of the, your son to avoid some of these hot takes.
Yeah, and that's the goal. We made the Twitter account seconds after he opened his eyes for the first time.
Gotta go
and,
there.
You know, I'm going over some rules and regulations, and yeah, this just being toxically masculine is probably up there.
You'll play trash takes with Patrick Claybon for him in his crib at night as he goes to sleep.
We have, between the four of us in this room right now, we have, what, 2, 4, 5, 6 sons.
Just a mass of progeny.
And a daughter. And I was referring to the toxic masculinity angle here. I hope your daughter doesn't go down that road either. Toxic,
she could be versatile.
Masculinity. But like, my point is that we have to be vigilant, ever vigilant of toxic masculinity on Twitter. But also, we can't control them. What happens if your boy starts throwing out some trash takes? What do you do?
You roast him. You roast him mercilessly.
Do you take him out of social media? Can you bench him?
No, you just flame him on Twitter and get some people to blast him. You know, you got to take the L. You got to learn
he's
how to take
the L. He's the ombudsman for everybody.
New challenges in parenting.
All right, so there you go. I think
what a show.
I love this, by the way.
No recycling here. It's Trash Takes with Patrick Claibon.
I love Trash Takes with Patrick Claibon, but I'm going to pound the table the next time we bring it back that there should be names attached to these Trash Takes. You put it out there, just like you want to do with your son. You want him to own his Trash Takes? These people should own their Trash Takes.
I mean, maybe if we want to keep it where we're not, you know, getting in trouble with other media outlets, we could certainly find people inside our own NFL media landscape with the Trash Takes, and we take them
down. That sounds like a great career move for a smart group of people like us.
We do it out of love.
We're so good at this career thing.
Yeah.
This is all constructive criticism.
All right, Patrick, even though we are on opposite sides of the OW, you're saying, you're telling me Beckham dropping to his knees in the tunnel doesn't ring any alarm bells to you in terms of he might be playing it up a little bit.
No, I thought, wow, he might really be hurt. And then I looked at the replay and I saw he was probably a fraction of a second from having his foot touch the ground and his knee be gone completely.
It could be both. That's what I'm saying. He could be, upset, but also be like, I'm Odell.
There's room for both.
Yeah. Don't shake your head, Greg. I'm allowed to have an opinion.
Sure. I'm allowed to disagree with your trash take.
You're trash, bro. All right. Thank you, Patrick, for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
I think it's important that we have, like, our takes come from both angles of the trash.
Yeah.
We got this trash covered. All right. Patrick goes back downstairs. He is one of the faces of the news operation.
Patrick jumping off the Titanic just in time.
I mean, you don't have to leave. We're the show's over.
Yeah, the show's over. Stay on, Patrick, please.
Cool.
NFL up to the minute. He's all over the place. He's keeping you informed. We will be back on Friday with our third and final show of the week, which will be part one of the fantasy extravaganza with some special guests from our fantasy team here at NFL Media. So we're very excited for that show. I know, Mark, you are the most excited about the return of the Fantasy Extravaganza.
How do I get to Friday? What do I do with myself until then?
And, yeah, we're going back to the hot corner, too. So this is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, the boss, Mr. Claibon himself, and Erica Tamposi behind the glass. Till Friday.